Today, sharing the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Lamed Aleph. We're learning today Li'ili Nishmas Elazar Padherser. All the Nishams we learn from should have an Aliyah from our learning. Now, we're going to begin by chazering over what we learned at the end of yesterday's shir. Yesterday's shir, I did give a handout for 30b that might be useful to refer to today as well. And we'll just quickly remind ourselves that we had brought down a situation of a Sofek Gerushin as well as a Sofek Kiddushin. And we had said by the Mishnah that the Sofek Kiddushin case was he gave her Kiddushin, he was standing 8 amos away from her, he tossed her the ring, he tossed her the Shavu Pruta item, and it's a suffix whether it was Karav Lo, it didn't leave his possession, it was still close to him, within his Dalet Amos, or no, it was actually Karav Lo, it was within her Dalet Amos, or closer to her, and therefore, the Kedushin is a valid Kedushin. So this was the Sofek Kedushin case that we talked about. When we gave the Sofek Gerushin case, however, we gave different examples, and we didn't give this example of Karov Lo, the Karov Lo, and the Gemara started off this discussion yesterday at the end of Lamed Omid Beis by asking why didn't we give the same case by Gerushin? And Rabbah had given us a teretz, and he said because in this situation you have a woman, and you can refer to my diagram from yesterday, the Sofek Gerushin case, and I've attached that again for today for those that are interested. So the Sofek Gerushin case was Reuven was definitely married to Nochris, we call her Nochris number one. And in addition, he then gave this Sofek Gerushin to his other wife, Rachel. Now, before this Sofek Gerushin occurred, so the Nochris was a Chazaka that she wouldn't fall to Yibam. So if Reuven dies now, her Chazaka is that she doesn't fall Yibam to Shimon. Again, Reuven and Shimon are brothers. They're married definitely at this point in time to two sisters, Rachel and Leah. Reuven also has the wife. We call her Nochris 1. So if nothing happens, if there is no Gerushin, so then the Chazaka is that the Nochris doesn't fall to Shimon in Yibam because she is Tzoras Achos Ishto. She's a Tzor of an Erva. Rachel is an Erva to Shimon. She is Achos Ishto. And therefore, the Nochris is the Tzor of the Achos Ishto, the Tzor of the Erva, and she wouldn't fall to Yibam as well. But now there's a Sofek Gerushin that's included here. So Rabba says, because of this Sofek Gerushin, we're not going to remove her from a Vadai, definitely Chazaka, that she doesn't fall to Yibam. Abaye questioned that. And Abaye said, so then why don't we say the same thing by the Kiddushin case? You again have, by the Kiddushin case, that this woman, and you can see this in the next part of the diagram from the handout from yesterday, Reuven and Shimon are brothers. Reuven is married definitely to Nochris number two. She's not related to Shimon's wife, Leah. But then Reuven takes in Sofek Kiddushin, Rachel. So before the Sofek Kiddushin to Rachel occurred, so Reuven's wife, Nochris number two, we call her over here, if Reuven were to die, would Vadai fall in Yibam to Shimon? This is a regular case of Eshesach that doesn't have children. Reuven were to die childless, so his wife falls in Yibam to the brother Shimon. Now you introduce a Sofek Rachel, so the Gemara says, Abaye asked the same question on Rabbah. Why don't we say over here too that in this situation, the Sofek shouldn't take you away from the Chazaka? The Chazaka was that she does fall to Yibam, and therefore she should fall to Yibam. Why should the Sofek change that around? So Abaye asked this question to Rabbah, and Rabbah said, because it's Lechumra. In this situation, we're saying, just don't go and fall to Yibam. But Lechumra, we said, just do Chalitz in this situation. No harm done. So this way we can take into consideration the Sofek. So the Gemara says, but that would be a chumra that could lead to a kula, because we then have in the last part of the bottom of the handout, we go through again, when Reuven gives this Sofek Kiddushin to Rachel, and we require the Nochris to undergo Chalitza, so then people are going to say, it must be that she has to undergo Chalitza, because she's definitely a Tzoras Erva. And we gave one of two scenarios, we'll just go through one right now, and that was that Rachel was the niece of Shimon. So in this situation, when Reuven goes and gives a Sofek Kiddushin to her, so when you make the Nochris number two in this situation undergo Chalitza, people are going to say it was a Vadai Kiddushin to Rachel. That means that if Reuven then subsequently to the Sofek Kiddushin to Rachel married her sister Chana with a Vadai, what would have been a Vadai good Kiddushin, but we're going to say since the Tzoras Rachel, the Nachris number two, required Chalitza. It must be that the rabbis checked it out and that the Kiddushin to Rachel was 100% valid, and therefore the subsequent marriage to her sister Chana doesn't take effect because of Achos Ishto. And as a result, you're going to let this sister Chana go off scot-free because she wasn't ever Mekudeshes. So while this Chumrah of doing the Chalitza to Nachris number two occurred, it leads to a Kula, and that we're going to let Chana go off scot-free without having to undergo a divorce, without a get. When in fact, if the marriage to Rachel wasn't a valid marriage, then Reuven was 100% married to Chana, and she requires a get before she's able to go marry somebody else. So now we turn to the very top of Lamed Aleph, and we said this actually yesterday, but we'll read it again now. The very first line, first word, Lamed Aleph. So Gemara says, no, Kivan dekol mitzrach dechalitza made yodei dechum rabbi amu. No, since everybody sees that you're doing chalitza over here, they're going to assume and say that no, this isn't a Vadai situation, since you're doing Chalitza and you're not doing Yibam, so people are going to realize that it was a Sofek situation and it's not going to lead to a Takol, it's not going to be a Chumrah that leads to a Kula. So Gemara says, okay, here's new Gemara now, we didn't say this yesterday, Ihochi, if this is in fact the case, second line, Lamed Aleph, Omud Aleph, so if this is true, so by the Gerushin Nami, Lisne Litzricha Chalitza, Umei Diyodei, the Chumrah B'Yamahu. So then why in the case of the Gerushin don't we say that the Nachris should undergo a Chalitza with Shimon? Look again at my diagram from yesterday, the top diagram. Reuven is Vadei married to the Nachris number one. He was Vadei married to Rachel, but now there's a Sofek Gerushin. So say, instead of that she goes off scot-free because of the Chazakah, say let her do a Chalitza with Shimon. And this way, Mimon Hashach, no problem. Again, everybody's going to know that it's the Chumrah B'Yamahu. And why not do that for the Gerushin case as well? And therefore, we could have asked Karov Lo, Karov La. So the Mori says, no. The concern over here was it could lead to a takola by the Gerushin case. If we allow Chalitza, then we may allow Yibam as well. Mistakenly, people say, well, if you do Chalitza, well, you can do Yibam. And that would be a real problem because there is a Chazaka that she's also to marry Shimon because of Tzoras Achos Ishto. The marriage to Rachel never was disintegrated by a Sofek Gerushin. She's still married to Reuven. Therefore, the Nachris is the Tzor of Achos Ishto, and therefore would be forbidden to go and have Yibam. So if we allow Chalitza, we may allow Yibam. That's why we didn't say the Gerushin case, Karov Lo, Karov Lo. So Gemara says that the same exact thing in the Kiddushin Sofek case. Hochanami, Matomer, Choletzis, Misya Bemis. In our case, the second case, where you have the Sofek Kiddushin to Rachel, so then if you're saying that Nachris number two should undergo Chalitza, so maybe that will lead to Yibam. Gemara says, no, v'tisyabein, v'emekach klum, achazokah kukaima. So that's no problem, because the Chazakah says she's allowed to have Yibam with Shimon. So if you want to do a Chumrah and say that she has to have Chalitza, and you're worried, maybe if you allow Chalitza, they'll do Yibam, so Mishka Ferlup, because the Chazakah does allow this Yibam to really occur. So therefore, Rabba is okay. His reasoning why we don't say the Karov Law by the Gerushin case is applicable and valid, as opposed to by the Kiddushin case, we don't say it. That's why the Mishnah had said, Karov Law. Abaye still questions this. Esri Abaye, we're going to learn in the Mishnah on Daf Samach Zayin. And the Mishnah there tells us, Nofal habayis olovi albas ochiv. Nebuch, you have a situation where a house collapses and it falls upon a man and it falls upon that man's wife. What is the scenario? Reuven and Shimon are brothers. Reuven marries Shimon's daughter. So he marries his niece. Again, we mentioned already, and we'll see later in the Masechta, this was a mitzvah, actually, albeit we don't do this today. This was a very common occurrence that a man would marry his niece. So Reuven marries his niece, Mazel Tov. They go someplace, and Nebuch, the house falls down, and it collapses and kills both Reuven and his wife, the niece of Shimon. Reuven also has another wife, okay? Chana. He has a wife, Chana. Now, this wife would be normally not going to Yibam. Shimon's the only brother. She can't go to Yibam to Shimon because her co-wife, the Tzara, is Shimon's daughter. So this is Tzara's Bito, Tzara's Erva. This unrelated wife of Reuven, Chana, would not normally go to Yibam. Now, in this situation, never would the house fall down. We don't know. Veinu Yadua, we're not able to figure out, as in the names we've shown, whether Reuven died first or his wife, who is the niece of Shimon, who is the Erva of Bito in this situation to Shimon, whether she died first. In Yadua, Ezimim, Mesri Shon. And therefore, in this situation, Chana, the Tzara, we're not sure. If, in fact, the niece had died first, if the wife of Reuven, who was the niece of Shimon, had died first, and now there's no longer a tsaras erva situation, because Reuven is no longer married to her. She never died, albeit a minute before Reuven, but she never died. And therefore, Chana would be, in fact, falling to Yibam. On the other hand, if Reuven died first, so then he died while he had a wife who was the erva to his brother Shimon. She was the daughter of Shimon, and therefore Chana, the tzara, would be Petura in this situation from Yibam. So in this situation, what do we do? The Mishnah Beferish says on Daf Samach Zayin, Tzoros Ocholetzes Lo Mesiyah Bemis. In this Sufik situation, we say that in fact she undergoes Chalitza, not Yibam. But why don't we then ask on Rabba? You're saying over here that Imat Omer Ocholetzes Lo Mesiyah, so say that over here. Amai Hochanami Ema Isha Zu Becheskes Heter LeShukometes. We should be saying that this woman, her chazaka, Chana's chazaka, was that she was the tzara of an erva, and this wife of Reuven, the other wife, was the daughter of Shimon, so it would be normally potter from Yibam because of tzara's erva. So we should say that you leave the chazaka as it is. Umisafek at the bola osra, but because of a safek, maybe Reuven died first, maybe his wife, who was the daughter of Shimon, died first. So I'll test her enemy safek. So then this is again the same exact thing. Rabbi, you said yesterday we don't stop a situation where she goes scot free because of a safek. I'll test her enemy safek. Are you going to tell me v'chitei l'chumra? You can say that we require a chalitza l'chumra over here. That's your reasoning. But this is a chumra da'asal de kula. This is a chumra that could easily lead to a kula. Why is that? Shem atomer choletzes m'siyah bemes. Because here, you just said that if we allow chalitza, we may allow yibam. So then we should be concerned over here. If we're saying the chana has to undergo chalitza with Shimon, it could lead to yibam. Now yibam would be a problem because that would go against the chazaka. So the word says, two possible answers. Number one, gerushin d'shriche. By the gerushin case, unfortunately, divorce is not uncommon. So it's a dover shriach, The rabbis are gozer, gozer b'rabbonim. So rabbi said over there, we better be concerned. And therefore, they made the gzera, don't do chalitza, because it could lead to yibam. However, mapolis, a house falling down, the lo shriche, this is an extremely unusual situation, and it's a dover shalo shriach, and by a dover shalo shriach, lo gazru behu rabbanu. The rabbis don't make gezeiros for unusual things. That's teretz number one. Alternatively, teretz number two, inami gerishin dekaima erva dekamochach. By the gerishin case, the woman is right there. Rachel, was she begureshes? Was she not begureshes? She is right there. And therefore, if people see that the chalitza is undergoing by this nachris number one with Shimon, it's a rosa komitzrachas lechalitza. They're going to say that this tzara, nevertheless, even though the rachel was there, but nevertheless we require a chalitza. Amri, people are going to say, kamu be'rabbanon begita. The rabbis investigated this sofek gerushin case, and they decided the Gita Ma'ayu, and in fact it was a valid get, and therefore Rachel's out of the picture, therefore Reuven dies, only Nachas number one is his wife, and therefore she falls Yibam to Shimon. And that's going to lead to, if you allow Chalitza, Va'osi Le'yabumi Le'tzora, and if you allow Chalitza in this situation, you're also going to maybe Chas Shalom do Yibam, which will go against the Chazaka, and that would be a problem. However, by the case of the Mapolis, nobody's going to say, well, the rabbis checked it out, and therefore they figured it out. How could the rabbis check it out? There isn't like a smoking gun like we have with Rachel being around there. Oh, the rabbis required chalitza. It must be that this was a real valid get, and it's going to lead Rachmana Lutzlan to Yibam. Whereas in the case of the Mapolis, nobody's going to say there's a smoking gun. They're going to say, how could the rabbis figure out? Did Reuven die first, or did his wife, who was the daughter of Shimon, Reuven married his niece, did she die first? So there's nobody going to be saying, ah, kamuchach, there's proof here that the rabbis figured it out. Mi kamu rabbanu mapolis, how could the rabbis figure out what happened over here in this Nebuch disaster? So therefore, Rabba's understanding as to why the Gerushin case is different than the Kedushin case still exists. Mora continues and tries again. Begabe Gerushin, mi lotnan, are you telling me in the case of Gerushin that we in fact don't require a chalitza? But not. But we learned in the Mishnah and Gittin the following. It said, Haisa omedes b'shus harabim. Again, this is the Suffolk situation where a woman was karov lo, karov la. It's not clear. Her husband divorced her. She was standing in the b'shus harabim. He tried to divorce her. Zorako lo, he threw the get to her. And again, karov lo, megoreshes. Karov lo, ain't megoreshes. It depends. Did the gate leave his possession? They're 8 feet apart. They're 8 amas apart. And he throws it towards her. It's not clear. Was it still within his domain or was it within her domain? So, in that situation, Mechza, We're not sure. Maybe it fell directly in between them, and it's half in his possession, half in her possession, so to say. So in this situation, we're not sure whether korov law. Now it's hamatzah. She's somewhat divorced, but not fully divorced. In what way do we say that she's somewhat divorced? What's the nafkamin over here? So, the e kohen, if the husband who divorced her is a kohen is not allowed to go and be masa grusha, so we have to be choshesh that maybe she was really divorced and he can't stay living with her, he can't remarry her. The kohen who asurale. So then she's now forbidden to him forever, even though maybe she wasn't really divorced, but we have to go luchumra. The erva he, and if she was in fact a Erva, if he were to die and she were to fall in Yibam to Shimon, the brother of this guy, so then she would be an Erva to him. So then the Tzara would normally not require, in that situation, Yibam with Chalitza. She would be Tzara Servant. She would go free. So in this situation, the Erva he, Tzarasa boy Chalitza. We do require Chalitza in this situation. So how can you tell me we don't require in the Sufik situation Chalitza? Here you see clearly in the Mishnah and Gittin that you do require Chalitza. And we don't say Shemato Omer Choletzis. If we say Du Chalitza Alstchomra, it could lead Rachman al-Slam to Misyavemis, which would be going against the Chazaka. So here you clearly see, Rabbah, that your answer isn't correct from the Gemara in Gittin. So Gemara says, no, Hoyit my law. We answered in response to that Mishnah that Rabbah, Rav Yosef, Dama Tavai, Rabbah and Yosef, when they explained that Mishnah, they both said that the Mishnah in Gittin is talking about Hocha Bishtei Kite Edemaskina. We're not talking here about a straightforward suffix. We have two witnesses that come along. The first two witnesses, Issachar and Zvulun, come along and they say, oh, the get was definitely closer to her. And then you have another two witnesses, Don and Naftali, they come along and say, oh, the get was definitely closer to him and she's not divorced. So, Hacha B'shtei Kite Eidem Askinim, Achas Omeres Korov Law, the Achas Omeres Korov Law. Yisachar and Zvulun say that the get was closer to her and therefore she's divorced. And Don and Naftali say, no, the get was closer to the Baal and therefore it never left its possession and therefore she's not divorced. So, that is the Havalei Sveika D'Oraisa. That's a real Sofik D'Oraisa. And therefore, we require Chalitza al Schumra. I, maybe Misyavemis, we don't have a choice. We're not concerned about it. It's a din d'oraisa, so we have no choice in the matter. And if there is a possibility of a takola, that's what the Torah says, has to occur. However, by our Mishnah here, when we're dealing here with the Safek Kiddushin case, there was only one set of witnesses, only Kas Achas, Masnisa D'Hacha, but Kas Achas. And therefore, Davali Sveikim D'Rabbanan, that's only a Safek D'Rabbanan. We're not sure, the witnesses don't know what happened, they're not sure whether it's closer to her or closer to him, or one says it was closer to him, one says it was closer to her. So you only have one group of witnesses, Eid Echad, in this situation. So therefore, we leave the Chazaka as it is. That's why the Kiddushin case is different than the Gerushin case, even though the Gerushin case and Gittin clearly says that Choletzes, and we're not worried about Misyavemes in that situation. So one would have thought we should say that in our Mishnah as well. So Rabbi and Rav Yosef answer that that case was talking about Shtei Kati Eidim. But here, we're not talking about Shtei Kati Eidim. Oh, that's the answer we want to give. So when it says, Umimaydim Asnisim D'Hocha B'Vasachas, how do we know that our Mishnah is talking about one Kat of Eidim? So when it says, because it's Dumi the Kedushin. The Gerushin case is similar to the Kedushin case. Ah, Ma Kedushin B'Kas Achas, Av Gerushin B'Vasachas, and Mustama, they're both talking here in our Mishnah with one Kat. And we're asked the obvious question, Kedushin Gufayu, Mimaydim B'Kas Achas, and how do we know that the Kedushin case here is talking about one set of witnesses? Dumi B'Shtei Kiti Eidim. Maybe it's talking about two sets of witnesses also. And then it's the same exact case as the Gemara and Gittin, and then we'd have the same Kasha. So the Gemara says, no. If the Kiddushin case was talking about two sets of witnesses, then Tisyabem the Ein Bekach Klum. So then you'd have the bottom line is, in the Kiddushin case, we don't know, was Rachel married or not? You have a Machokis Doraisa, and therefore we leave things as the Chazaka, and Nochris number two would fall in Yibam to Shimon. Tisyabem the Ein Bekach Klum. The Gemara says, really? Tisyabem the Ein Bekach Klum? You have two kosher witnesses that say that she, in fact, is married to Reuven, and therefore, the Nachris number two is Tzoras Erva, and is not allowed to have Yibam, according to Beis Hillel. The Atam is Tisyabi, and you're saying just ignore that? So that doesn't make any sense to say we're definitely talking here about two sets of witnesses, and it's an Issa Deraisa, and we just leave the Chazak as it is. And furthermore, we'll even knock that whole principle apart. Furthermore, Bishnei Kiti Eidin. Who says that that's a Sufik D'Raisa? In fact, B'shtei Kite Eidim, Nami Sveik D'Rabbanan, it's actually a Sufik D'Rabbanan. Because the Amrinan, Oke Tre, L'Bahadi Tre, because we have two witnesses against two witnesses, and therefore we don't know what the din is, and As a result, v'isha okmo achazaka. You leave the woman in the chazaka. So in the case of the Gerushin case, you have two witnesses that are saying that she's megurashes. You have two witnesses that say that she's not megurashes. So you leave her in a chazaka of being married to Reuven. As a result, the nochris is left in her chazaka that she's a tzaras erva, tzaras achos ishto, and therefore she goes free without requiring gibum or chalitza. And if you question, how do you know that this is right? We have a case exactly saying the same thing. This is exactly the same case that occurred with a person who was known as Bar Shatya. Bar Shatya means he was never sometimes as a shota. He sometimes was in a situation where he wasn't mentally competent. This person had some sort of a, let's say, psychiatric illness or some sort of other medical problem where sometimes he's fully mentally competent and other times he's not mentally competent. When he's mentally competent, so any transactions that he does are in fact valid transactions as a Bar Hochi is a person who's mentally competent. However, Nebuch, when he's not mentally competent, so anything that he does doesn't have halachic status because he wasn't mentally competent at the time. And he was known as Bar Shach in Mestama. That was his name. He was known as the person who was sometimes competent, sometimes not competent. And what happened? The Bar Shach, Zobin Nirse, he one time sold property. And they weren't sure, did he sell it when he was competent or not competent? So also Beitre, two witnesses came along, Bamri, and they said, Kishu Cholim Zabin. Cholim here means that he's healthy. It has nothing to do with the word chola, that he was sick. That when he was normal, so to say, everything was perfect with him, so then his sale goes through. He's a bar hachi. He's a perfectly mentally competent person. And as a result, that sale is in fact a valid sale. That's what the first two witnesses say. Yisachar Zulun say that he was perfectly mentally competent. Long come done enough to leave also betray. No, he was never crazy. When he sold it, he was a shota, and the sale has no halachic validity. So what do we do in that situation? Ravashi said, okay, trey la de trey, you have two witnesses against two witnesses, and we turn to Lamed Aleph of the days, and as a result, Be'ara ukba b'cheskes b'shatya, and you leave the land in the situation that it was before, and then the chazaka. So tovia, by the Gerushin case, you'd have to leave the woman in her status of being a married to Reuven, who, the achos number one, who is also married to Rachel, who is an erva, the achos ishto of Shimon, and as a result, the nachris goes off. Nachris number one goes off without ibum and without chalitza because of this tzaras erva. And therefore, Rabba is wrong. Why don't we give this example of Karov Lo? Rabba's entire teretz, after a full half a day shear, is shlugged up. So now the Gemara says, Elor Abai. Abai was the one that shlugged it up originally. So Abai gives his own explanation. Why didn't our Mishnah give the case of Karov Lo by Gerushin? It only gave it by Kiddushin. So he says a very simple teretz. He says, the Pasuk in Eov tells us, Yagid Olov Reyo. This Pasuk is telling us that when you look at one thing, it teaches you the other thing. Look at the context, look at the surrounding information, and that will give you what the din is. So Tana B'Kiddushin. So the first part of the Mishnah deals with Kiddushin, with Karov Lo, so too, Vuhadin L'Gerushin. So the same exact thing does apply to Gerushin. It didn't say so. We'll see in a moment why it didn't say so, but the din is the same. Karov Lo would have been a perfectly good example for the Sofik Gerushin as well as the Sofik Kiddushin case. Sofik Kiddushin was specifically mentioned, but Yagid Olav Reyo, go and look and see the case by Kiddushin. Mistama, the same thing applies by the Gerushin. And he says, Tana B'Gerushin, the three examples that we gave by Gerushin, Vuhadin L'Kiddushin, they applied as well to Kiddushin. It just didn't say it there. But Yagid Olreyo, look at each case. So the case mentioned by the Kiddushin is also applicable by the Gerushin. And the three cases mentioned by the Gerushin are also applicable by the Kiddushin. That's how Abai wants to explain it. Yeah, it does say Karv Lo, because there's no problem. Amalei Rava doesn't like this. And he says, if you're going to tell me, you're going to say, Yagid Olav Reyo. You're going to take this pasuk from Eov and say, learn from the Kiddushin case to the Gerushin case, and the Gerushin case to the Kiddushin case. So then, the end of the Mishnah doesn't make any sense. My, when it says at the end of the Mishnah, Zehu, what does that mean, the Kitani? What is that Zehu coming to teach us? That this and only this is the case. It said, Zehu Sofei Kiddushin, implying that only this is the Sofei Kiddushin, and not the same idea by Gerushin. And when it says, Zehu Sofei Gerushin, so it implies that these three are only by Gerushin and not by Kiddushin. So how can you, Abaye, just say that Yagid Olav Reyo, that each one says by the other one? Then what do you have the word Zehu for? So Rava says, therefore, you're wrong, Abaye. And El Omer Rava says, similar answer, but not the same exact answer. Rava says, Koshi Yesh B'Kiddushin, Yesh B'Gerushin. Yes. The Karov Lo that we find by the Kiddushin, yes, that's also found by the Gerushin case. However, the Yesh B'Gerushin, the three cases mentioned by the Gerushin, not all of them, Masha and Kim B'Kiddushin, not all of them are found by the Kiddushin case. And that's why the end of the Mishnah says, Vizehu, the Gerushin, lav davka. There is a case by the Gerishin that is not found by the Kedushin, but the other cases are found by the Kedushin, so it's lav davka. And the only reason that we use this lashon by the Gerishin, elam yishum detona, is elam Kedushin, because by Kedushin, it is specifically saying that this case is found by Kedushin and not found by Gerishin. In other words, the lashon of the Mishnah is just for parallelism, why it says both by Zehu Kedushin and Zehu Gerishin, but there really is something by the Kedushin that's not found by the Gerishin, as opposed to by the Gerishin, most of the time it is found by the Kedushin as well. So what is the example? Vizehu de Kedushin lemutimai. What does it say? This is the case of Kedushin, kor of law, and something else, which is not found by the Gerishin. What is not found by the Gerishin? Which one of the three cases that's mentioned by the Gerishin is not found by the Kedushin that we say Zehu b'Kedushin, that these are not by Kedushin? That case is Lemute Zman, the lack of a Kedushin. That's if you have a get that doesn't have a Zman in it, so we said that that is a Sofik Gerishin. But by Kedushin, there is no such thing. If you give somebody a Shtar of Kedushin, so then even though it doesn't have a time in it, it still is a valid Kedushin. A document of Kedushin, which is not the normal way that we are Makadish a woman, or Makadish a woman with Kesef or Shavu Kesef, we give a ring, but technically you can be Makadish a woman with Kesef, Shtar, or Bia. So the possibility of giving a Shtar exists by being Makadish a woman, and if you don't have the time on that Shtar, nevertheless it's a valid Kedushin. But if you don't have the Zman on the Gerishin, then you got a problem. Then it's a Sofik Gerishin. Where he asked the obvious question, so why don't we have Zman by Kedushin? So the Gemara says, because Hanicha Leman D'Omar Mishum Peri. Everything makes sense according to Leman D'Omar because of Peros. Now, what is this? So if you look in the Rashi, Dibra Maskil Hanicha Leman D'Omar, so he says, this is Begitin in Perek Kol HaGet, where it says, Mibay Ma Tiknu Chachamim Zman Begitin. Why was the requirement for including the time, the date of the Gittin in the Gittin? Mishum Peri, because of the Nichse Melug, that the husband is entitled to eat. His wife brings in property. That property belongs to the wife, as opposed to Nichse Tzom Barzo, which the husband has to guarantee that it will return to the wife. Here, the Nichse Melug belong totally to the wife, but the husband has the usury rights to them, what they call the usufruction rights to them. And therefore, he is entitled to go and get the benefits, the payros, from that property. So therefore, you must write in the Zman by the Gittin, Mishum Peri, Leida, Me'ema Saiti Gove, Mibalas Peiro, Mibala Peiro Sha'ocha, Minichse Meluk Shalah. If the husband divorces the wife, so then from the moment, the Kesava, Mishah, Shinos, and Eina Bolagarsha, the moment he even thinks to divorce her, Shuv Ein Lo Labal Peiros, he has no longer the right to eat from her fruits. His usufruction rights are going away. So therefore, you must have the Zman written in the get, so we know, well, she is allowed to go and claw back any payros that he used from that point and onwards because he has no longer the right to use them. So that's why by a get, you need to have this date put into the get in order that you shouldn't have over here any questions about the payri. So the Gemara says, that works out great. Honich l'man d'yamr, Mishum payri says, that's the reason why this man d'yamr says, by a get, you have to go and write in the date so you don't have any problems with the usufruction rights, with the payros. However, by arusa, so if it's a sofek, whether she is accepted the Kedushin or not, so that's only the first stage of marriage. And in Arusa, less laperi. There is no entitlement to the husband to use this Nichse Meluk until they're actually consummating the marriage. Here is only a question as to the Erisin. There is no Chupa, there is no Nisuin. So therefore, by Kedushin, the first stage of marriage, there is no benefit to writing in the time, the date, because there are no benefits accruing to that from that date and time. So therefore, that's why we can understand, according to the Man D'Yomer, it says the whole reason to write it by a get is because of Peros usage rights to know when they stop. So therefore, we understand why you only write that by a get, but there's no reason to write it by Kedusha because there's no impact on Peri by a Narusa. Just giving her the shtar that makes her a Narusa won't change anything. Oh, very good. Hanich l'man d'yomer mishum peri. However, there is another reason why we write in Zman by a get. El l'man d'yomer mishum basa choso. There is a concern over here that if Reuven marries his niece, the classic situation where Reuven and Shimon are brothers, Shimon has a daughter, and Reuven marries his niece. And now, what's going to Nebuch happen? D'yomer mishum basa choso. He married his niece, and Nebuch, she strays. Nebuch, she goes and commits adultery. So he's going to have rachmanis on his daughter, and he's going to give her an undated get and say, no, she wasn't married to me at that time that she committed adultery, and as a result, she's not chayevus misa. He's going to have mercy on his niece. So therefore, we insist that right into the get, the date, and therefore, as a result, none of these shenanigans will occur. They'll have mercy on his niece that she shouldn't get killed because she committed adultery, even though he was the husband and she committed adultery too, he's still going to have mercy on his niece. And therefore, according to this opinion, Lisakin's man for that reason. Now, that same reason would apply to Kiddushin as well. Because even though she's only an Arusa, she's still also to somebody else. And if she never committed adultery with somebody else, we should be concerned that the husband will say she wasn't yet married to me at that point in time. So therefore, if you don't have a date on the Kiddushin, on the Shtar, so then the same concern should apply to this opinion that says that because of a man marrying his niece, we have to write in the date on the get. So then you should have to also write in the date on the Kiddushin, the Shtar Kiddushin. Shmuel says, no, there's a difference. Mishum de'ikud de makadish b'kaspa, v'ikud makadish b'shtar, because there are those people that get married via first stage of marriage with a ring, with kesef or shava kesef, and there are those people that get married with a shtar. And therefore, since you can't make it 100% corrected, lo tikun rabbanan zman. Therefore, the rabbis didn't insist on putting in the zman by the shtar. But 100% of women, they get divorced with a get. There's no alternative way. And therefore, in this situation, by the get, we insist on having the date, but by the shtar kiddushin, since there is an alternative way, kesef, to go and give kiddushin, so therefore they didn't insist on putting in the date in the shtar kiddushin. More questions. This Amale Rav Acha b'rei de Rav Yosef l'Ravashi says, wait a second, Rav Acha b'rei de Rav Yosef says to Ravashi, v'o avda de'ika de'kone de'kaspa, de'ika b'shtara, by an eved, there are those people that acquire an eved with money, and there are those people that acquire an eved with shtar, but Tikkun Rabbanan Zman, and yet the rabbis did insert there the requirement that the document of the selling of this eved should have the date in it. So how come over there, where you have both kesef and shtar, that we insist on putting in the date, but by Minu Makadesh, because you could be Makadesh with kesef or with shtar, the rabbis didn't insist on putting in the date in the shtar. Shmuel says, no, there's an obvious difference between the two. With an eved, Hosam Ruba Bishtar, the vast majority of Avadim are transferred with a shtar. It's unusual to have a pure cash deal. They always would write a shtar. So yeah, every now and then there was a cash deal. But most of the time it was through a shtar. As opposed to by marriage, most of the time, Hocha Ruba Bekaswa, when's the last time you went to a wedding and there was a shtar given instead of a ring? No. Well, a shtar would technically effectuate the first stage of the marriage, would accomplish Erusin Kiddushin. Nevertheless, the vast majority do it with Kesef. Therefore, making a takana in terms of a shtar Kiddushin wouldn't really be effective. So this is the reason why, by Kiddushin, there was no requirement. Zehu, by Kiddushin, makes sense that only these, and not the giving of a shtar with a date in it, by Kiddushin, as opposed to by Gerushin, there was a requirement to go put the date in the shtar. Okay. Ibai Seim, alternatively, we'll give another answer. And that is, Mishum Delo Efshar. Because if you're going to put in a shtar with a date on it, by Kiddushin, who's going to hold on to it? Hayechi La'avit. How are you actually going to do this? Lincha gabe dido, if you're going to put the shtar by the wife, so then mochakale, if she goes and commits adultery, so then she'll just erase it, and now you won't know when she was married. So therefore, you can't say that she committed adultery after she was married, so she can't be the one to hold on to it. Lincha gabe dido, give it to her husband, where her husband is her uncle. And therefore, again, if you're concerned, the zimin the basachosu hiyu mechapa law, if it's going to be his niece that he married, and he's going to have mercy on her when she commits adultery, so he's going to erase the date then. So therefore, what did you accomplish by writing the date in the shtar? There's no purpose or benefit to doing it. I give it to the Edim, Lincha gabe Edim. So again, what are the Edim going to do? Eid is zechire leisu lisok. If they remembered independently the date of the Kiddushin, so they should come and testify. But if they don't remember independently, v'lo, they're only going to look at the shtar and say, oh yeah, the shtar says that we testify that the Kiddushin took place on such and such a date with the shtar. Similarly, the chazu michtava, they're going to see the writing, v'asu masadin, they're going to come to testify, but they're not going to come to testify based upon the memory, they're going to come to testify based upon what it says in the shtar. V'rachmono amar mipia, v'lo mipi k'sovim. And the Torah says that we have to know from their own knowledge and not from something that they have no recollection of right now, but they have some sort of a document. That's called hearsay, and therefore that wouldn't be good. So the reason number two that the Gemara says why we didn't write down date in the shtar of Kiddushin, but we did write it down by shtar of Gerushin, a date there has to be in the get, is because there is no alternative by the Kiddushin. Where are you going to write it down and give it to? If you give it to her, there's a problem, she'll erase it. If you give it to him, there's a problem, he'll erase it. And if you give it to the Edim, so then they come lead to a takala that will be mipi and below mipi k'savim. And therefore, there is no alternative. Gemara says, if that's true, so then Begerishinami, name Ahachi. Why don't we say the same thing by a get as well? That maybe somebody will come and erase it. The Gemara says, no, there's no potential takala there. Why? Awesome, in that situation, lehatzola di da kasi. The date is what's going to save her. If you required a date in the shtar, so then there is no concern that she will go and erase it, because if it's erased, by definition, it means that she's still married. The date of the get is what's going to save her. If she, Rahman al-Islam, committed adultery, so she'll say, I wasn't married at the time, it wasn't adultery, it was just, I was a penuya, having relations with somebody. So the date is critical to her. So give her the get, she'll hold on to it, because she'll never erase the date. The date is what's going to save her. Without a date, she's still a married woman. So therefore, it's hasam l'hatzola dida kasi, and hacha l'chova dida kasi. But in the case of a marriage, the date can only hurt her. So of course she'll erase it, and then she'll say, prove to me that I was married when I committed this adultery. You'll never be able to prove it, and therefore she'll go off scot-free. And therefore, in this situation, the rabbi said, by the get, you have to have the date in there, but by Kiddushin, Ashtar Kiddushin, you don't automatically have to have the date in there. Okay, this concludes the sugya. Again, a complicated sugya. Now, I have another handout over here. There'll be two separate handouts for today. This one will be labeled Yevamos Lamed Aleph Omud Beis. And the other handout that I have, I said, is really the handout, second half of the handout from yesterday's shiur, so I'll insert them both in today's, so you'll have both of them easily available. And here we're only going to use the top part of the handout for today. The rest of the handout that I'm putting in today is actually for tomorrow's shiur. So just look at the top case for today, which will describe the Mishnah. So the Mishnah begins, Shlosha Achin Nisuin Shalosh Nochrios. You have three brothers that are married here to three unrelated women. So in this situation, you have Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. I actually didn't put the name down of Reuven and Shimon. Reuven is the box all the way to the left. Shimon is the box in the middle. And then Levi, I did put down, he's the box on the right in the top diagram on the second handout from today. So you have the three brothers, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. They're married to three unrelated women. Reuven is married to Rachel. I have Shimon here married to Chana, so you don't get confused with Leah, unrelated. And Sarah, another unrelated woman, is married to Levi. So you have three unrelated wives. Reuven, Shimon, and Levi are married to three unrelated wives, as is the usual situation. And then what happens? Umeis echod mehem. Reuven dies. That's step number one. Nebuch Reuven, I didn't put his name in the box, but he's the box that's with number one under it. That is the first event that occurred here. Reuven passes away. So his wife, Rachel, falls in Yibam to either Shimon or to Levi. And what happens? Also, Bohasheni Maimer. So the Mishnah tells us step two is that Shimon, the middle box, he does Maimer with Rachel. So Rachel is now his Dirabanan wife. Again, Beishame would say that she's his full wife, the Raisa. But we hold like Beis Hillel. So Rachel is Midirabanan, now married to Shimon. But it's not a full marriage. Now, what happens? Umeis. Then step number three, Nebuch Shimon dies. And now you have his wife, Chana, who definitely would fall in Yibam to Levi, but now we complicate it because Rachel is also a partial wife of Shimon. So she too falls, but Rachel is falling in part because of Reuven and in part because of Shimon, and that's a problem. Now both of these women, both Chana and Rachel, neither one can undergo Yibam. They both have to undergo chalitza. Cholzos v'lo misyabmos. Each of them, both Chana and Rachel, in this situation, has to undergo chalitza. Why is that? Because we have the pasuk. The pasuk we've mentioned many times. Shenemar. We have the pasuk. Yeshu acham yachtov. Umeis achad mehem. Ubein ein lo. Lo siya. Eshes hameis hachutza liyishzar. Yevama yavo aleha ulekachalo leisha v'yibma. We had this pasuk many, many times in the first two prakim when we darshan it. Here we have it again over here. So the pasuk says, "Umeis echamim." When one brother dies, in that situation, his wife falls in yibam to one of the other brothers. But that implies she'olah zikas yavam echad. She only fell because of one brother's death. Velo she'olah zikas shnei yavmin, but not because of two brothers' deaths. And in this situation, this Rachel, as you can see in my diagram, was originally falling to Levi because of Reuven, but now is in part falling to Levi because of Shimon, because of the mimer that Shimon did with her after Reuven died. And therefore, she's falling from two houses, so to say, and therefore, this Zikas Shnei Yadmin exempts her from having Yibum done. Now, the problem is, it also, the Tzara, her potential Tzara, Chana, also is now Tzara of a woman who can't have Yibam, and therefore Chana also can't have Yibam, even though she's only falling from one house, she's only falling from Shimon, and therefore in both of these women, we say Cholzos below Miss Yabmos. As I wrote down over here, the Tanakama holds over here, Cholzos below Miss Yabmos applies to both of them. But along comes Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon says, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Miyabim Lezer Shirtza, you do Yibam to whichever one of them that you want, but v'cholit l'shnia, you have to give chalitza to the second one. And his reasoning is as follows. If, in fact, we say that Maimer makes her into a wife of Shimon, so then one of the two requires Yibam, and the other one doesn't require anything. We just don't know which one. If you say that the Maimer did nothing, so then both of them would require Yibam v'chalitza. So the bottom line is, al sofek, you have to do Yibam v'chalitza to both of them. But since you can't do Yibam and Chalitza to both of them, because maybe they were married, and then you only have to do Yibam to one of them, so then he says, you can be Miyabim, whichever one you want. Mimonoshach. If you're Miyabim Chana, so then Chana definitely fell to Levi. And even if Rachel fell also, so no problem. You did Yibam to one of the two, and the other one normally goes scot-free. But maybe, in fact, she wasn't the wife of Shimon. The Maimer didn't do anything, and therefore she required Yibam and Chalitza herself. So then, in this situation, so give a Chalitza, because you can't do Yibam to her, because maybe she was a co-wife of Chana, but maybe she wasn't, so therefore do Chalitza to her. And if you do it the other way around, you want to give Yibam to Rachel, fine. So if Rachel fell on her own, so absolutely no problem. If she fell as a wife of Shimon, absolutely no problem. So whether she falls as a wife of Reuven or as a wife of Shimon, it's only one of the two, according to Rabbi Shimon, not both. So she can undergo Yibam. And for Chana, maybe Chana is in fact now the co-wife of a woman who underwent Yibam. So you can't do Yibam with her, but maybe she's not really the co-wife of a woman who underwent Yibam, and she requires Yibam or Chalitza. So again, Mimanu Shach, Rabbi Shimon says, do Chalitza to the second one, in this case, Chana. So Rabbi Shimon's sheet is, you could be Miyabim whichever one you wanted to, but the other one has to undergo Chalitza. Normally, if there's two wives, only one undergoes Yibam, the other one goes off scot-free. Here, because of the Sothek, was she or was she not a co-wife? So we say the second one should undergo Chalitza as well. Now the Gemara questions, and it says, V'zikas shnei yabim d'araisa. If, in fact, this Zika was a din d'araisa, so the Chalitza nami loli tibai. If you're telling me that the Zika was there from the start, so then she shouldn't even require Chalitza. According to the Tanakhama, you're not allowed to do Yibam. Once you're not allowed to do Yibam, so then that's because of this Zika, that maybe she was on her own, maybe she is through Shimon, so therefore she can't go and have Yibam. So then, if you can't do Yibam, so then Chalitza Nami Lo Tibay, then it shouldn't require Yibam or Chalitza. Now this question on the Tanakhama is only assuming that this pasuk that you brought down, Umeis Echad Mehem, Yavom Al Yavo Aleha, is a Din Daraisa. And therefore, if this woman is in fact falling, if Rachel is falling to Levi, possibly because she is coming from the house of Reuven and the house of Shimon because of the Maimer, so then, if this is a Din Daraisa, so then she shouldn't require Yibam or Chalitza. So Gemara answers the obvious question, no, it's not a Din Daraisa, it's really an Asmachta on this Pasuk, Elamid the Rabbanon, and it's a Gzeira. The rabbis instituted that you shouldn't have a woman who comes from two houses because then it could lead, chas v'shalom, to the problem. Shema yom, where people are going to say, shtei yevamos, habos, mibayis echa, misyabmos. They're going to say that two women that come from the same house can, in fact, both undergo Yibam. And that, of course, is wrong. If a person has two wives, only one of them can undergo Yibam. The other one is aser. It's an iser of erva. You're not allowed to have a second Yibam with a second wife. So if we allow this over here, so then people would mistakenly think that she really was married via the Maimer to Shimon, and there's Chana and there's Rachel, and people will say, no problem. If he were to, in fact, do Yibam with both of them, that could lead to a tremendous takala. So the rabbi said, do Chalitza to prevent this potential takala from occurring. And this is Xerah the Rabban. So Gemara says, so then why doesn't the Tanakhama say like Rabbi Shimon, Unayabim l'chada v'nechlus l'chada, and this way you could fulfill the din d'araisa with Yibam rather than doing Chalitza. So again, the Tanakhama would say, this is a gzeira. Shema yomru, bayis echad miktsaso banui u'miktsaso chalutz. That from one house, you can do Yibam with one of the two, and then you still have to do Chalitza to the other one. And that's incorrect. So therefore, because of this gzeira, the rabbi said, better not to do this. Gemara says, so what would be so terrible if they did Yibam on one and they did Chalitza, quote, unnecessarily on the other one? How could that lead to a takala? Gemara says, you're right. If you did the yibum first and then you did the chalitza, there's really no takhala that can come from it. But once you allow both to be done, one has yibum and one has chalitza, people may mistakenly do the wrong order. Therefore, the rabbis made another gzera over here. It's all one big gzera. And like gzera, if we required you to do yibum and chalitza, you have to do the yibum first and then do the chalitza. It may turn out that somebody will do the chalitza first, and then there is absolutely an issa to do yibum. And if they do v'hadim yabim, it's going to lead to a terrible takola for kamle basher lo yivne. And this would be going against the pasuk that says that if the woman chooses to do chalitza and not be yivne, and she doesn't want to go and become his wife, so once you do this, Rachmon Amar, Kivon Shalom Bona, once you did Chalitza, so then Shuv Lo Yivna, then you're not allowed to have Yibam anymore. So therefore, because of this concern, if you require both Yibam and Chalitza in that order, it may end up that you do Chalitza and then Yibam in that order, and that would be a Takala. Finally, the Gemara concludes and says, Amar Rava. Rava says, Nos and Get Limamaru. In our case over here, where Shimon gave Maimer to Rachel after Reuven, her husband, died, and then he changed his mind, and he gives her a get. Nosan get l'mamoro. So now, hutra tzarasa. So Shimon's wife, Chana, the, quote, co-wife of Rachel through the Maimer, but that Maimer was disintegrated with the get, so now Chana goes back to being allowed to fall to Levi. She's no longer a tzara of a woman who's forbidden. She's not a tzara anymore. Rachel's out of the picture. The mimer that was done that made her like a wife of Shimon, and therefore a co-wife of Chana, is disintegrated. The get totally destroyed that, and hutra tzarasa, and now Chana is allowed to fall in Yibam to Levi. However, it's only Chana that's allowed to fall in Yibam to Levi. Hutra tzarasa, abal hi asura. But the woman, Rachel, who underwent the mimer and then underwent the get, she still remains also to Levi, the chalfa bebalas get, because if we allow her the full Yibum to Levi, people are going to mistakenly think, oh, if you get a get, you still could have Yibum done with her. And the din is that once a get is given, while it doesn't accomplish anything, it does accomplish that you can no longer do Yibum. So it doesn't do anything to free her. She still requires Chalitza. But if we allowed her, after she got a get, to still go and marry Levi through Yibum, people would mistakenly think that a get doesn't prevent somebody from undergoing Yibum. So that's what Rava's Chiddush is over here. Alternatively, Ikud the Amre, Amar Rava. Rava said as follows: Nosan get l'mamoro. In the situation where Shimon gave Maimer to Rachel after his brother Reuven died, and then he gave a get, Nosan get l'mamoro. According to this version of Rava, Hutra filuhi. Then not only is Chana permitted to Levi, but now so too is Rachel actually permitted to Levi in Yibam. We don't say that the get is going to be a problem. Why? My timer, why not? Because my da'avad ba shakle. Because what he did to her, the mimer, he removed with the get. This isn't the normal case of just giving a get. Here's a case that was a mimer, so it was undone by the get. So now we're back to step one, where Rachel falls from her husband Reuven to both Shimon and Levi. Shimon died, so now she's still left in falling to Levi. And according to the second version of Rava, not only can Chana undergo Yibam, but even Rachel would be allowed to undergo Yibam with Levi. Again, this is a complicated sugya in Yevamos. I hope it was clear. Keep on holding on to the sheet if you printed it out, because Yemitz Hashem, you will need this sheet for the rest of the shiur for tomorrow. With this, we conclude today's shiur.